Okay, great. Okay, welcome everyone. We're going to start. Thank you for coming to this session. Five fun strategies to help promote science-based reading instruction. I'm really honored to be here. My name is Rivka Varney, and thank you to Rabbi Muller for asking me to come here today, and Sharon Schwartz, who was amazing with like all the setup and organization and just being in touch. And really, it's an honor. I see like so many of my former colleagues or current colleagues and teachers, my children's teachers. So it's really an honor to be here, and I hope we can all learn from each other. Definitely chime in, because all of you have so much experience and ideas too. And I really hope that from today you can take away some new ideas and strategies that you can then implement in your classrooms and in your schools. So just a couple of things. First of all, about myself. So I am a special ed teacher and a reading specialist. I've been teaching for 20 years now. It's a long time. And I worked for many years at Hillel Torah before going into private practice in Wilmette. And I work with children with a broad range of learning disabilities and developmental delays. And really, it's amazing to see the growth that children make at their own level. Just a few kind of, for the new people that walked in, just a few kind of housekeeping things. Everyone should have a handout by now, which is at the table in the front. There will be a raffle at the end for Read Write materials for both Hebrew reading and English reading, so everyone can have two tickets. Just write your name and phone number on the back. At the end of the session, you should have a feedback form in your folder to make sure to fill it out to get credit and place it in one of the slots, like the boxes throughout the building. You'll see them as you're walking around. And also today we'll be using some of the supplies from the ATT, so just make sure to return them before you leave, especially the markers. Some people end up like taking them, you know, just putting them in with their stuff. Okay, we'll get started. Here we go. Okay, let's see if I can figure this out. Can everyone see the board? Okay. And do you feel like it's bright enough, or should we dim the lights? You can try. You're good? Okay, thumbs up. Okay. Okay, so looking at this picture, and really this is kind of like a good, you know, talking about like the theme for today's event. So teachers of general ed classrooms might say to themselves, like, why do I even need to learn about this stuff? Like, meaning to say, like, even like dyslexia or science-based reading instruction, like, I'm just teaching typically developing kids. So what's, like, the big deal? So this kind of graphic is interesting. Does anyone want to kind of talk us through some of this and maybe relate it to their classroom? I can kind of like get you started. So basically, if there's like a school, let's say, and we have the ramp for kids in wheelchairs, and then we have the stairs. So what's more efficient? What would benefit everyone, you know, from shoveling first after the snowstorm?
Carrying the ramp, because everyone keeps the ramp.
Right, exactly.
Obviously. So it's like when you're teaching, you want to teach for all, even if it's like with these books. They're geared for dyslexia, but they help kids of any, like, ability. So it's better to learn what could help all the kids instead of just your ones that are don't have a disability.
Exactly, exactly. And, like, what Ms. Hamlin is saying is so true, especially because, like, some of these kids, yeah?
Even more than that, what I find in my classroom is there's the kids we know have issues that don't help, the kids that are normal. But then there's also a pocket of kids that maybe fall in the middle. They need a little help, but they're not so bad that they need to go to resource. So doing some extra things helps them in the classroom so they don't get to the point where they're falling behind.
100%. Right, 100%. Like, I always think, like, if you get in early and you get in really strong, like first grade, you know, you could prevent a lot of, like, issues later on. So definitely. And that's really, you know, what we're here to talk about. There's a really big push, and we're going to watch a little trailer about that. But basically, to talk about the science of reading and structured literacy, and you can kind of look at this. I'm not like such a great artist, but this visual over here. Obviously, there's like pendulum shifts throughout the years. But to look at what we're doing in the classroom, is it based on research, and do children actually make progress from those types of strategies? And what's proven again and again is that structured literacy, when you teach like systematic approaches to teaching children how to read, the foundations of the structured literacy is the science of reading. So we're not going to talk about like science experiments, but that there's actually good, strong research as that foundation. And this is the overview of today's session. So we're going to spend some time talking about current research on literacy instruction. We're going to look at some screenings that you can actually use in your classroom. And then we'll talk about different strategies to remediate letter names and letter sound deficits, to promote blending, to promote fluency, to promote reading comprehension, written expression, and then we'll wrap up and have a raffle at the end. And as we go through today's session, I'm sure there will be questions, and I would be happy to answer some of them, but we'll have to keep moving in order to get through everything. So if there are questions that I don't have time to get to, I'm happy to stay after at the end, and we can chat for a couple minutes then, so you can just kind of write down your questions. So by a raise of hands, who's heard about the Sold a Story expose? Can you just raise your hand if you've... Okay. And have you, by a raise of hand, who has listened to, like, the different podcasts? Okay. So this is important as teachers for you to kind of hear about it and read about it and really listen to. So I would recommend listening to all the different sections of it. So Emily Hanford is, she's an educational journalist from the American Public Media, and she did an investigative report called Sold a Story, which was like an expose about how educators came to believe in something that wasn't true. So what we're going to do is I'm going to show you the trailer, and we'll kind of talk about it for a minute and think about what we can learn, like, moving forward. Let's see. Wait. Oh, wait.
Cognitive scientists have known that a popular approach for teaching reading is based on an incorrect idea, but many teachers and other educators didn't know about this research, and millions of children around the country don't learn to read well in school.
What helped you learn how to read? How did you learn?
By looking at the
pictures. Education reporter Emily Hanford helped bring this problem to light, and schools are changing the way they teach reading. Now, Emily's looking into why so many schools bought into this debunked idea about reading for so long. Her new podcast, Sold a Story, focuses on four influential authors and a publishing company that helped spread their idea.
It didn't seem like they were really teaching them to read. It seemed like they were teaching them to sound like they can read.
You've got good business people protecting very, very valuable franchises.
I trusted that this is the way you teach reading. How could they be wrong?
Go to your favorite podcast app and subscribe to Sold a Story.
Let's see if I can.
Word was founded on the simple idea that words.
Words.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm figuring out the technology. Let me see if I can figure out. Can someone volunteer to figure out the lights, how to get them back on? Okay. Yes, that's good. Okay, so basically, I guess raise your hand if your school uses, like, Lucy Calkins-type Fontes and Pinnell I know definitely Hilatora, where, and I myself, okay, so not that many.
Uses or used?
Oh, okay, I guess maybe within the last 5 years have used, like, well, Fonda Zampinel. Okay, okay, okay. So what did you switch to? Okay, okay, okay. So so most public schools use definitely Lucy Calkins, like guided reading, Fonda Zampinel. And basically the philosophy is based on the three cueing system. So the three cueing system is like here, let me just see what we do like this. Okay. So basically when you look, teaching kids to look at a word and ask three questions. So you look at the semantic, does it make sense? Syntactic, does it sound right? And then graphophonemic, does it look right, like the visual? So that concept of using different strategies to figure out words instead of looking at all the letters and all the parts of the words. And this is huge in the public schools. So basically what Emily found out is that over 65% of American kids were not, like by fourth grade, are not reading well. And not following like research-based, science-based reading instruction in their classroom. So under the Bush administration in 2002, there was a huge literacy grant, like I think it was like millions or billions of dollars put into something called Reading First. And they found out that the essential five, like children need five main areas in order to learn how to read really well. And those five areas are phonological awareness, phonics and spelling, fluency, vocabulary, and comprehension. So this type of program, like the Lucy Calkins program, I actually think there's a lot of value to it, too. I definitely would not say that not to use it at all, but doesn't focus so much on, like, the phonological processing and the phonics piece of it. There's definitely a big push, like, with fluency, like, vocabulary comprehension. Would you agree? Yeah. And I know, like, Hilatora, we've always done both, like, Horton-Gillingham and then plus Lucy Calkins too. What Emily Hanford was saying though is like in many of the public schools, children who would fail with this type of guided reading,
there's a Honda Civic in the parking lot,
they would
motor on, license plate DM57212. There's a Honda Civic with the motor on, Illinois license plate DM57212.
So children who would struggle with like the guided reading would then be placed in a leveled literacy intervention group, which I definitely still use, and I know like Hilatora uses as well. So they would just learn this same idea in a smaller group with more practice. And what she was saying is that definitely to look back at the science of reading versus using this approach. And now it's actually interesting because there's a lot of, like I was saying, there's a lot of positives also with looking at this type of approach and how to make a bridge. Like, you don't want to say, oh, we don't want to do this at all. So an example would be, let's say, like, with a group of eighth graders who are learning how to decode the word samovar. So nobody really knows what that is anymore, right? So you would maybe teach them how to break apart that word, how to decode that word, and then what you can do is looking at context clues would be totally appropriate as well. So you kind of can make a bridge between these two approaches. You don't have to throw it like the baby with the bathwater as well. So it's actually interesting when you talk about science of reading, there's a researcher at Northwestern University. Her name is Dr. Elizabeth Norton. And what they are doing is actually taking MRIs of brains while they're reading, dyslexic brains. And poor readers, brain focuses on the area of the brain which looks at every word like a picture. But good readers are using the parts of their brain which taps into phonological processing. So we want to make sure that the structured literacy approach is training children to use the parts of their brain which breaks apart every word.
Wait, what was
the name of that person? Dr. Norton, Elizabeth Norton. So it's really amazing because in here, and I'll show you the next slide, is she was showing that you can actually see the differences on these dyslexic brains with MRIs. So if you look here at a typical brain versus a dyslexic brain, so in a dyslexic brain, there's more activity in the frontal lobe. So it's like the Broca's area. Now, Broca's area is the area which focuses more on language. So it's kind of looking at each, like, word as, you know, looking at the meaning or looking at it as, like, just a whole word. But the parietal and occipital areas over here in a typical brain, which is reading, this works on phonological processing, and this works on word recognition. Sorry, the ability, so this is fluency. So phonological processing and fluency. And I'm not a brain scientist, but basically what, and I actually went to go hear Dr. Norton too at Northwestern. So basically what she's saying is like this whole area, the parietal-temporal area, which works on phonological processing, you can actually see like in the dyslexic brain, it's not activated. But once interventions are started and you teach children how to break apart words, you start to wake up that those areas of the brain and make connections, and you actually can see differences in the MRI after intensive intervention. So it's really changing the way that children are using their brains in order to read. Another researcher is also Nadine Gabb from Harvard. You can kind of like look up. She's done a lot of work, too, with looking at this. And that's really kind of what Emily Hanford was saying, is that the whole program was guessing. That's like looking at the language. But really what we want our children to do is to break apart and look at individual sounds. And we will move on. All right, some good stuff. Okay, so how do we know if a child is struggling? So the term for a reading disorder now is called dyslexia, so that's disordered reading dyslexia. And there are some screenings that you can use to look at. I put the link here, but I kind of just copied it and placed it over here as well. These are some generic questions that you can ask. You can go onto the link from the International Dyslexia Screener with International Dyslexia Association. It's called IDA. And it will tabulate the scores for you. And this was developed by the Colorado Learning Disabilities Research Center. So nothing kind of, you know, not rocket science, but just to kind of look at the whole picture. And if you're noticing that some of your students have struggles, like, you know, in a number of these areas, and you kind of look at the whole picture, then you would, you know, speak to your school about how to get more support for that student, both inside the school and maybe outside the school as well. Okay. All right, let's move on here. Okay, so how, especially in the younger grades, first of all, are there any questions before we move on? We're good? Okay, so let's do an activity first. Definitely, phonological processing is enough, like, we could do a whole workshop just on phonological processing. There's so much information, and it's so important, especially, you know, when you start working with children who are like, even in nursery, kindergarten, pre-1A, just to develop their sense of individual sounds and words. And phonological processing, the hint would be, like, a phone, like, it works on, like, sounds, like, even before you introduce letters at all. So let's do some activities together just to give you a sense of what phonological processing really is. And these are some ideas of activities that you could do in your classroom. And there's a book over here called Phonological Awareness, Assessment Tools and Strategies by Yvette Zagonk. And she has a really easy-to-use assessment in here that you can use. It's called the PAST assessment that you can use in your classrooms. Like, it's really easy to use and give. Okay?
What's it called?
It's called Phonological Awareness, Assessment Tools and Strategies. I'm going to leave all the books here so you can kind of come and take pictures if you want after. So let's try one together. So there are many different sub-skills in phonological processing. So let's work on rhyme completion. So this is an example of a section on the assessment. So I'm gonna start a poem, and I want you to finish the poem, okay, with a rhyming word. So let's do it together. I like to walk. I like to hike. I like to ride my big blue. Okay, let's do another one. The big bald eagle likes to fly so very high up in the
sky.
Our teacher said to sit up straight, then asked us all to count to
eight.
I saw some grapes, a whole big bunch. I think I'll eat them for my
lunch.
The tree outside my room is tall. I saw the leaves about to. Okay, so if children can do that, they can do rhyme completion. Okay, so let's try another one. This is called rhyme production. I'm going to say a word, and you tell me a word that rhymes with it. Okay, it could be, so here they're saying it can be a real or nonsense word. I like to stay away from nonsense words, and we can talk about that later, but let's try, okay? So if I say sit, what rhymes with sit? Yeah. What rhymes with pan? What rhymes with cake? What rhymes with hop? What rhymes with sea? What rhymes with dark? Excellent. So, and it's like very easy to tally up the scores and just like really easy to give. Okay, now we're going to work on syllable blending. I'm going to say a word in a funny way, and you will put the words together and say the whole word. For example, outside. What's the row? Bot. Pen. Soul. Rain. Bow. Okay. So that's syllable blending. Now let's look at syllable segmentation. I am going to say a word, and then. Okay, so this is a little bit harder. We're asking children to segment words. So I will say a word, and then I will divide the word into two parts, okay? Actually, here it's saying you push up a chip. You'll have to read the instructions as you're giving it. Some time. So I'm giving you this as an example. Now, go ahead. Basket. Bedroom. Fantastic. Maybe. Helicopter. Okay, so for some kids this is hard, but it's so important because there's no letters. You're not showing them any letters. It's all about listening. And that's really what phonological processing is, for them to listen and for them to work with individual parts and words. We're going to do one more called syllable deletion. Let's play a game with words where one part of the word is left out. Okay? Say sunshine without shine. Say airline without air. Good. Say downtown without down. Say inside without in. Say basket without kit. Say skateboard without skate. And also, this is like hard for some kids, like with working memory issues or like ADHD. Like for them, if they don't remember what the word is, they might like ask me, like, "What was that word again?" Like, and it's also good for listening. So, any feedback before we move on to the actual letter names?
This is like the Hagerty everyday like.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So Hagerty also works. Yeah. Okay. Definitely. Yeah. Do you use Hagerty at Ari Crime?
No. I mean, we did before we took, before we brought in TKLA. Now, like, we still have time. Right?
I know. Yeah.
But TKLA also does syllable. Yeah,
I know. It's hard to find time. Like, I don't know, like, some schools even say, like, just doing 5 or 10 minutes, just doing circle time, during circle time, or figuring out, squeezing it in. I know it's. That's definitely an issue. That's actually a good question. What would you say? That's actually a really good question. Oh,
you don't have time. I guess, and I know that, like, variability really tells you which ones to focus on. Like, it might be helpful to know which ones to focus on if you don't have a lot of time.
Do you know what? We just started with the Korean Masters in the Buena program. It's like, it's in the Korean 101. We're doing like a minute or two.
Right, like here, there's actually 14 different areas on. So what she says, the gonk, like Yvette Zagonk in this book, is you give the assessment, it's very quick, like in the beginning of the year, you tally it up, and it shows you what areas the children are deficient in, and then you kind of choose those areas to work on. But I agree with you, like what would you say would be really important areas? I would say definitely being able to recognize the individual and final consonant sounds, and also recognizing the vowel. The middle sound in the word. What would you guys say? Or like Hannah, do you have an opinion?
Well, I think what you said about the deficiency of like noticing where they need to keep improving on their skills, but I also feel like it's different in a small group versus the whole classroom.
Yeah.
You know, especially on the age, depending on if you're a first grade class or second, third, those skills kind of build on each other. So thinking about you know, adding one thing at a time and keep going, I think is probably helpful.
Yeah.
I guess if a child, if you see a child is making a lot of skills, that's a good child to refer to male speech.
Definitely, and for sure, right, the speech and language pathologists, I mean, not all of the speech and language pathologists work on phonological processing, but there are many who do, you know, so definitely they can help support this as well. Yes?
Yeah, how do you deal with the kids who are the focusing issues?
Right.
And it's hard to, like, figure out which one is the focusing and the phonological awareness ones, like, which pieces, would you, how far would you stretch it without you just can't remember because you're not here?
Right, because there's a test called the CTOP 2. Like, has anyone here heard that? Heard the comprehensive test of phonological processing? So that's, like, more for, like, reading specialists or special ed teachers. It takes about 30 minutes to give. But, like, sometimes I'll give the test and, like, the child just, like, does very poorly in many areas. And then I think, well, is it the ADHD or is it the working memory? Is it that they're not listening or is it, can they actually not, are they struggling with the skill? It's such a hard call, I feel. Usually you can probably tell if you break it down into very small pieces and they can do like one or two very well, you know, and then they start to fatigue. Like it's a hard call. Does anyone else have ideas for that? Or yeah?
No ideas for that. No, seriously, because it depends on the child and it depends on where they are. I teach kindergarten.
Yeah.
So a lot of my kids, I teach kindergarten boys, so a lot of my kids are just off the wall. But knowing who has issues, like we test all of our kids at the beginning of the year for speech. Knowing a child has an issue lets me know that, okay, I have to go at it a different way. Or like you said, do one or two. Two ideas for doing this that I'm taking a reading class on besides the reading. Number one, you can do rhyming while you're reading a story.
Yeah.
Read a rhyming book, you got it right there, you're doing it anyway. And the other one was I do centers. So at the beginning of the year specifically, we do a lot of phonemic awareness, phonological centers based. The kids are playing games. They're having a good time. They're putting the letters together. They don't know that they're learning. And we're going around going like, okay, who's having trouble? You get it in a fun way, and you're doing that anyway. You're doing centers anyway. And then once you start reading, you've built in. If I'm, we're learning a new sight word, well, S, E, C, you've got the built in, the breaking apart and putting it together. So it kind of, you can, if it's important or it's part of your curriculum, you can find ways, and also there's so much stuff on TPP or on the internet of things that you can get to do, or the library also.
That's great, thank you. Yeah,
also building on what you're saying, that these programs like Hegarty and these reading programs that supposedly like take like 5 or 10 minutes a day, there's no time to do them, you just build them into your everyday curriculum. So when we sit down for calendars, so we might say calendar, calendar, how many, you know, syllables to hear. So you know what skills you need to cover and you kind of just incorporate them in what you're doing during the day.
I love that. Right, exactly. Like calendar, reading a story, you can omit the last word and have like the children fill in the blank, especially if it's rhyming, that's called close. Yeah?
I want to give you the idea of Dr. Seuss. He is the master of rhyming.
Yeah.
You know? Like beginning sounds, I didn't do it, I teach Christmas, I do it with my children all the time.
Yeah.
All his books, and like, he works on a lot of initial sounds. Everything starts with it being sound, and then it rhymes. He, like, it's a very fun way to include.
Exactly, yes, Dr. Seuss is wonderful. Yeah, definitely, agreed. Okay, so now we're going to talk about screening for delays in ABCs, like the alphabet and Alice's letter names and sounds. So in your packet, you have, I'll just grab a copy for myself.
Sorry,
that.
Oh,
Okay, so this sheet over here is with the alphabet in uppercase and lowercase. Oh, actually, I should have it. No. Okay, so what I'm sharing with you is the ISIL's assessment for alphabet recognition. Now, the ISIL assessment is the Illinois Snapshot of Early Literacy, and if you want links to anything, feel free to email me after this, and I can send you whatever you want. I just didn't want to overdo it with all the copying to give you everything. So this is the ISIL assessment. So this is the teacher's record sheet, like her record sheet. Now, you would show something different to the student, which is just the same exact letters, but like in a full sheet, kind of spread out more. And it's two sheets, one for uppercase and one for lowercase. So I was thinking, why don't you all just take like 2 or 3 minutes, turn to the person next to you, and look at the instructions, look at this assessment, and kind of maybe mark a few errors, pretend you're giving this assessment, and then we'll regroup and talk about what you would do with information from this assessment. So turn to a partner, you know, pretend to give the assessment, make some marks, and we'll regroup. Okay, everyone, we're going to regroup. Would anybody like to share their feedback for this assessment tool? Do you feel like you can use it in your classroom? What are your thoughts? Assignment? Okay, we have to be quiet.
Christine noticed, and I think this is an excellent observation. If you look at the lowercase letters, right away she saw how they had the two different fonts for the G, and she makes one herself that she has the A in different, how the A is written, how you would print an A versus how an A is printed for you to read. And I think that's very valuable information when you're giving one of these tests. I know we administer this at our kindergarten through our reading specialist there. She started us on 2 years ago, and it's a very helpful tool with knowing how to go forward.
But with that, I have seen, because I've given the test, I have seen a number of kids fall into a lower percentile because of those two, the A and the Q. And the G, I'm sorry, the G. Actually, there's an A also on there that's different than most of the kids see. So it's a thing where the kids know all the letters, and those throw them off, and that puts them into a lower percentage.
But that's when you put your notation on your score sheet, that's the reason why they fell short.
Right.
I made my own sheet before I even saw this.
Yeah.
And I actually put the A's together and the G's together, but I also like it this way so they could see it in isolation.
Yeah, I mean, it's information, right? Because a lot of times in books you'll have different fonts, and definitely, like, now everything is typed up, and if children aren't recognizing that this is an A and this is an A, that's information to kind of work on. Any other feedback before we move on? Okay, great. So what we're going to do now is look, I know that, just I want to say one thing just in recognition of all the Hebrew teachers here. I know we've been talking a lot about English reading, but most of these strategies also apply to Hebrew, and we're going to talk about some Hebrew strategies now. I didn't do it this way. Okay, sorry. So for the Hebrew reading, just turn the page. Okay, so I just want to tell you my observation in my practice. And I'm sorry, on the other side is letter sounds. I'm not going to have you practice, but it's definitely a separate assessment. Does that make sense? Like, you want to check, do they recognize the letter names? And then separately, do they recognize the letter sounds? That's a separate assessment. What are some patterns, like, as teachers, that you would, looking at the letter sounds, that you would notice typically in your students? Kind of look at this sheet. I know definitely for me, for my beginning readers, there's usually they're usually mixed up with the vowels, short vowels. There's confusion with the short vowels. Any other patterns that some of you recognize with the letter sounds? Yeah.
M and N.
M and N, for sure. Yeah.
Basically, it's the letter itself, B and D, they get them mixed up.
Yes, exactly.
And then sometimes with the P and Q, because they're
Exactly. Or some of my beginning readers will recognize all the letter sounds, but then when you get to the digraphs, then they're not sure.
Exactly. Like Y sometimes is tricky.
Yeah.
Like they forget what sound Y makes.
Yeah. I agree. I definitely agree with that. Okay, so turning to the Aleph Bays sheet over here. Okay, so I have to tell you my observations in my practice now, where I see kids like from many different schools coming. Even older students, when parents come and bring their child and say their child is struggling with Hebrew reading and they're just struggling. And so the first thing that I do is I sit down with them with a mixed deck of flashcards and I say, even if they're in fourth grade or older, let's just do a drill. And I want to see if you can recognize the letter names. So we start, and usually what happens is there's a whole bunch that they're hesitating with, even the older children. And then I say, okay, let's do it again and let's see, you know, try to tell me or the letter sound. And usually what I find is that there's tricky letters that they're hesitating with. So shin and sin, kaf and bays, or bet. So aleph and ayin, they're making a sound even though they're silent letters. So vav and zayin, you know, so samach and then sophie. And these are, you know, maybe older kids. So imagine then when they're reading words, they have to stop and hesitate so much because they're not automatic with their letter names and letter sound recognition. So I don't know. I know it's not really nice. Like the X, I don't know if it exists. It probably maybe or no. It's like a mixed sheet. Like this is something definitely for someone to create some sort of assessment like this with all of the alphabet mixed stuff and to create similar to the ISO.
Yeah, we have a
Kriya scan. Okay, yeah, so I have to do this.
Yeah.
I would love, I'm going to have to reach out.
Come over.
I'm going to come over, yeah. So basically definitely to check all of that letter names and letter sounds. And usually what I do is I also have the cards for the nikudot, the vowels, and I have the children just tell me, identify the sounds that the vowels make. So I'm not concerned. Definitely when children come to me, they're already struggling, so I'm not concerned that they know that kamas or kamas, depending on the school, that's what it's called. I just want to know when I show them the kamas, they can say the correct sound, or the cholam, they can say the correct sound, because that's the step that brings them closest to reading itself. Can they automatically just identify those sounds?
Isn't the letter sounds more important than the letter names?
Correct, definitely. So, right, so I, yeah, go ahead.
When they're reading, like, they need to know the sound.
100%. So I always like to assess it at the beginning, but the main intervention will be on letter sounds, for sure. I I mean, if you think about, like, Hebrew reading, there should be some sort of practice with the letter names because, like, when they're trying to find, like, Karakhafes, if they really have no idea of the letter names, like, it's going to be harder for them for certain skills that they'll need later on, but just to get them reading, definitely the emphasis should be on.
Well, but I think when they know the names, it's helping to understand the song. And then they're
exactly.
So it helps them in other ways.
100%. But for some kids who really struggle with memory,
the memory,
so then if you have to choose one, yeah.
And that way, allophone is different than ABCs,
yeah.
Because the ABC sounds don't make the way you say the letter doesn't really sound.
Some of them, right. Because allophone is much more phonetic.
Every single,
yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to show you some interventions. And actually, Rifki Zirkin was the one who showed me Read Bright. Like, I came over, and you were very nice, and I've been using some of their mnemonics. So let's take a look over here. I just want to show you some of the interventions that are out there, and maybe you also have different strategies that you're using in your schools that you can share with us as well. But have you heard of Lively Letters? Okay, so Lively Letters, I actually heard about Lively Letters from a wonderful reading specialist at Cove that I was collaborating with. And basically, the idea of mnemonics is that for some children who have some of our children will learn all the letter names and all the letter sounds, no problem. They don't need any tricks or strategies, and it's totally fine. But some of our kids really struggle with remembering. So there are, when we use multi-sensory approaches to teaching reading, like visual learning, so maybe we're looking at a picture in the shape of the letter, auditory learning, maybe we're singing a song about that letter, we're telling a story. So there are different strategies. Like if you look at this, so Lively Letters has a wonderful app. There are free, like, training classes online that you can look up. It's produced by a reading specialist and a speech and language pathologist. So this, for example, is the short vowel O. So there's a little story about every letter. And they teach you how to make the shape with... They teach you how to say the sound and make an action that goes along in the shape of the letter. Sorry if I'm, like, not making sense. But, for example, the story for O is that there is such a cute baby... Aww, and you kind of turn your head to the side, aww, and on the app, the speech and language pathologist is actually telling the story and then showing with her mouth how to do the actual letter sound. So look it up. So aww is the cute baby, and you kind of practice with the kids. And then there is a little boy who is so hungry, and he's taking a bite out of his, and you actually make the apple with your hand, and you're taking a really big bite out of this apple. Apple. That's And then the baby is in the crib, and he wakes up from his nap, and he really wants his mom or babysitter to take him out, and he puts his hands up, and he goes, up. The kids really like this one. We like practice that a lot. And then there's a boy who is playing basketball, and he is playing basketball, and he is so happy because he gets the ball in the basket. And he's smiling because he gets that ball in. And think about as you're saying it, you really are smiling too. So they really work a lot on the way that your mouth is forming these vowel sounds. Okay, and then here is E. E is, this is a video game, and I don't know if this really works for all the schools, but basically a boy is playing a video game, and he has a character named Ed, and Ed is getting all the tokens, and then you kind of do it with your hand. Ed. And there's on the app, there's things like tracing, and there's a song, and there's the visual. So there's a lot of different parts of it that you can use. Okay, and there's, you know, they go through all the letters too. So I wanted to show you the corresponding. What? Look up Lively Letters. Yeah.
So
I wanted to show you. So Read Write has something similar to this for the alphabet. So this is these are the alphabet hints, and it's very similar. So it goes through each of the letters, and there is a story for each letter. Now, what it does not have is the action, like, and the shape of the mouth, but there is a story. So for example, so Aleph, there's no story because Aleph is the silent sound. But this is the base, and I'll just read the story to you so you can kind of get a little sense. So Bayes, the boy, is sitting on the bench. He threw his ball up and found it in the Bayes. Okay. And now for some of the kids, I actually add my own action. You can create your own action.
Do they have some real stories or just English stories that go
along? I know. I mean, maybe the Israeli teachers would know. I'm sure there's programs in Israel too that
I'm not the best in the first grade in Israel.
Yes.
So, but there is a book that you have like a short story more than the Tony. Like how is it that I have some book that all the values is like sugar. Like there's a story about it, and then they see the values. About the, not the letters, the vowels.
Oh, for the vowels.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So then I have a book with the stories about it.
Yes. Okay.
I bet I'm sure
it exists. Yes. So usually the kids who come to me are English speakers and they're struggling with remembering. So I know people say, well, you're using English for Hebrew, but that's just the way it helps them remember. So here's the Gimel story, right? And the Gimel story is there's a girl who steps on a gum and she has to throw the gum in the garbage. And so I created my own actions for kids who need it. So for the Gimel, we kind of step onto the gum. And then really your body is kind of in the shape of that Gimel, kind of. And here's the Dalet. And the Dalet. There's a dog. And this is what I do for Dalet. There's a dog near the door trying to get out. And then kind of do that shape. And hey, there's a boy who broke his leg. And he has to, we kind of do like hop. He has to go and have Bella to the hospital. So kind of thinking about using lots of different stories, pictures in the shape of the letters, and using different words and ideas that go along with each letter. Any questions?
Who's the author?
Sarah Gross from Read Write. And basically, I contacted Read Write, and I'm not getting any commission, but he was like, I said, I'm presenting at a teacher's conference, and will you send samples for the teachers at the ACC? And they're so excited. They said they do this all the time. They're very popular in, like, New York area, so they sent all these materials that will wrap up.
And also, just to know, they are the MCPS vendor, so you can get the materials through
That's great. Thank you.
There's another program, Leo Winger's Creability, that JDY uses. That, I think, has motions that comes with pictures. I think also things like that. Also, flashcards that comes with, like, a whole curriculum that the Dabble uses. I think kindergarten through fourth grade, like the same steady building up curriculum we're doing and things like that, but that comes with a similar idea together with the motions of.
That's great. Okay, so Creability. So, and then this, they have a story for every, like you were saying, Aura, so they have a story for every vowel. So, like a good one here, I mean, this is like a famous one for the Papa.
Like
he got the doctor, and he puts like a popsicle stick in his mouth, and he says, ah, and you can kind of have the kid put, ah, and then the girl's wearing an apron, apron. So.
You know what, I cannot do it, because I put off the bed
immediately. Exactly, you have to do the Hebrew
one. It will be hard for me to explain
the elephant and struggling. So anyway, kind of go through it. I'll leave all the stuff out here, and there's great ideas there. Okay. All right, let's move along. So, okay, and here, this is just what we went through. So for children definitely who have difficulty with memory, try to think in terms of using as many of the senses as possible.
Is it memory or dyslexia?
Or dyslexia, you're saying?
Yeah. Is it memory or is
part of the brain?
Yeah, that's a good question. So memory is definitely tied in. If you have a child who comes in and just doesn't remember the names of the letters, so they might have dyslexia too, but they just don't remember the name of the letters.
But not memory. It also helps for dyslexia.
For sure. Definitely. Like if it's like more of a phonological processing, that just even being able to listen and discriminate between two sounds, this for sure helps too. Where it's not that they're not remembering, they're just not even like discriminating the difference, for sure. Okay, and let's move along from this. Okay, so some blending strategies are definitely, have you seen like blending wheels or blending books? They have like at Skokie Public Library. I was going to bring some, but working on word families and working on blending. We're going to do an activity together right now called Making Words Activity. So what I'm going to do is, and this works on blending. We're going to do it in English, but this can definitely apply to Hebrew, and I would love for some teachers to talk after and share with us in terms of how this can apply to Hebrew. So I'm going to pass this around. Everybody needs one strip, and we have some scissors, so I'll pass around maybe like every two people take a pair of scissors and a strip of paper. I'm going to write letters on the board, and everybody write those letters on your strip of paper, but write them like large and spread out. Okay, so write these letters, yes, yes. RIDNPS, and Mrs. Eimerman shared that we're very close on time, and I want to, let's keep moving so we can get through at least this strategy and maybe one more before we say goodbye. So just maybe by a raise of hands, if you're ready, you have your letters. Okay. So snip the letters out, and if you don't have a pair of scissors, you can also just rip them. I'm going to walk you through a strategy. These letters here. RIDNPS. Okay, and I'll talk as you're getting yourself organized. Basically, the way that you really do it, and you can buy the book, it's called Making Words, is first you have the children challenge themselves and try to figure out
how the book.
Aragon has the book.
Several.
Okay. I know they have like all different ones, like different grade levels, different formats. So basically, first you have the children play around with the letters and come up with this like a challenge, as many words as they can. And then the teacher can guide the students through a lesson. Now, there's always going to be a magic word at the end that you can create with all of these letters. So let's walk through it together. Take two letters and spell the word in. Okay. Oh, so you actually do it.
Oh, you found it already.
Okay. Add a letter to make the three-letter word pin.
Do you always guide them through this?
Not always.
Okay.
I feel like if they're able to go through it and come up with the magic word completely on their own, then that's enough, and you can do different activities, like in terms of sorting, yes. And yeah.
Yeah, like I've done this where I have like lines, so like they know they have like three letter words they can make, so like they have to figure it out.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah. If they come. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Change just one letter and turn your pin into pig. Now, change just one letter and your pig can become rig. Sometimes we call a big truck a rig. Let's make one more three-letter word, rip. Now let's make a four-letter word. Hold up four fingers. Add a letter to rip, and you can make rips. Change the first letter, and you can change your rips to nips. Sometimes a very young puppy nips at your feet. Now this is a real trick. Don't add any letters and don't take any away. Just change where some of the letters are, and you can change nips to what's the word?
Yeah.
Yeah. Believe it or not, you can make another word with these same four letters. Move your letters around and change spin to. You got it. Snip. There is one more word you can make with these same four letters. Move your letters around one more time and change snip to.
Pins.
Yes, pins. Let's make two more four-letter words. Use four letters to make sing. Yeah. This is not from, we'll talk about that soon. Now change just the first letter and make
ring.
Yeah. Now we will make a five-letter word. Add a letter to change rings. Add a letter to ring to spell rings. Okay, has anyone figured out what word we can make with all six letters? Raise your hand if you have figured it out. And what's the word? Okay, how can we use this for Hebrew as well?
It's harder, right? Because you don't have that same flexibility. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do one last, I think if we have time for one last thing. Okay, let's do one last thing, then we'll do the raffle. So basically, when we're working on fluency, so fluency strategies, these are some fluency strategies, and basically what fluency is, it's rate reciprocity. So the speed at which children are reading plus their expression. And really the only way to really work on it is through practice. Children need tons of practice to become good fluent readers. So here are two books which I really like using, two series. I just found this one. It's called We Both Read. Has anyone seen this?
Yeah.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
And then I read to you, you read to me. So will someone, maybe one table, maybe this table over here. So do you guys just want to read it together? What you can see is that there's a page for the teacher, a page for the student. And they're reading together. This story is called The Mouse in My House. So the teacher reads like it's a little smaller. And then the student reads, you know, where there's more decodable words and sight words. Why don't we just do like the first maybe four pages?
Sure. Once there was a tiny mouse that made its way inside my house. And from its tiny little nest,
the tiny mouse was one big pest.
The mouse had raced across my toes. It liked to chew on all my clothes. It liked to hide. It came and went.
With my shirt, it made a tent.
Okay, and you can stop here. That was great. Thank you. Great job. Okay. So what do you guys think, like, friends?
I liked it a lot. It's like, I feel like the easy reader books are so, like, boring and simple, but this allowed for more of a story.
Yeah.
But one thing I like, too, is dot, dot, dot. And I feel like when you're having kids listen to somebody else reading, they're not following along because they're waiting for the end.
Right.
But this is like, it blends nicely. Like, I had to make sure she paused so that I could finish, or not wait till she, like, was waiting for me to start.
Exactly. Like, the engagement, I find, is, like, a lot higher with these type of books, where you also have the child has a job, you know? It's like, yeah, for sure. All right. So we're gonna wrap up now. Sorry we didn't get to the comprehension. There's notes in your packet and the writing. I would be so happy if you wanted to email me. Definitely would be happy to send you any information that you like or to answer any questions. I can also stay for a couple minutes after if anyone wanted to come over and talk. You have a feedback form. Make sure, please, to fill that out. And before you leave, to return the materials over here. But if everyone could just stay seated for a minute, we're going to do the raffle. And then everybody could just return the materials. And we'll say goodbye.
All right. Does anyone still have tickets?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Don't forget your tickets. Thank you. So just a reminder, make sure you all have two tickets with your names on them. There's an English box and there is a Hebrew reading box. Anyone else? Okay, we're going to start with the raffle now. Okay, so for the Hebrew reading, we have... Oh, you didn't... For Hebrew?
More slowly.
No, that's fine, that's fine. For both Hebrew. This is Hebrew, you want to... Okay, so with the first prize for Hebrew reading, and we're going to raffle off here, Kriya Pyramid Stories. This is great for Hebrew reading fluency, and the first winner is Nahama Freed.
Oh.
Enjoy it. You know, maybe what I'll do just in the interest of time is I'll just keep them here. I'll put the ticket on and just come and get your prize. Okay, here we go. Or Rubini.
Wow.
Pyramid Stories. Okay, for Aleph Bay Hints and the Alphabet Workbook is Hannah Helfers. Okay, for the Nakudo Hints is Gitti Everett. Okay. And let's do the English. Okay, for the, we'll start over here with the ABC Hints and Activity Book is Christina Hamlin. For the first theory, step one, readers and workbook is Hannah Abrams.
Yay!
For step two is Zirkin. For step three, Rachel Texter. Oh, that's her. For step four, Tracy Kessel.
Oh, yay.
And for the fluency and the marvelous hints, the last prize is Sarah Abrams.
Yay!
Okay, thanks for coming. You can all make your way to your next session. Thank you. Oh, thanks for participating. Hi, Marnie.
Hi.
Thank you so much.
Do you remember with the NASCAR?
Oh, yeah.
Really enjoyed.
What's your name?
Hama Halberstadt. I do Korean JQB.
Oh, wow. Thank you for joining. Yeah, yeah. I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks so much. Thank you for all your participation. Thank you.
Yeah, I would love to. I know, right?